Sometimes Bracken will ask me, is there a gospel reading that you want to read? And so I've decided that I don't want to tell him that anymore because I've got a word, but whenever he reads the gospel, it's so delicious that I want to have the option of giving the word I already had or the one that I get tantalized with by hearing Bracken read the gospel. So once again, the appetizer that Bracken threw out there, the bait, has hooked me again. Well, may the words of my mouth, meditation of my heart, be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. This is again from John chapter 1, verse 14. And the word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. And John bore witness of him and cried out, saying, this was he of whom I said, he who comes after me has a higher rank than I, for he existed before me. And of his fullness we have all received, and grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth were realized through Jesus Christ. And no man has seen God at any time. And the only begotten God who is in the bosom of the Father, he has explained him. We've been doing Galatians on Wednesday night, and the thing about the Galatians that I'm so fascinated with is just how hard-nosed Paul is in his letter to the Galatians to not give an inch about the fact that you can't add one thing to the gospel of grace and that you don't balance grace out with law. At the minute you add one little thing to the gospel that Paul preached about the grace of God, then you've perverted the gospel. And he even said, if I should preach to you a different gospel than you heard from me, or anybody else should preach to you a different gospel, let them and me be accursed. That's strong language. Again, in simple terms, you can be said a lot of different ways, but the law is man's best for God, even if it's out of sincerity. Grace is God's best for man. But people get scared of grace. God's scared, and he's not scared, but it concerns God about people who don't get grace. The devil's scared of people, that's the best way to put it, who get grace, because it's the power of the gospel. See, the law says, here are a set of rules, and you need to do the best that you can to keep them perfectly, so that you position yourself to impress God enough that he values you enough to bless you big. Grace says, he's performed everything for you, and has already positioned you because of you're in him, for God to value you as much as he values Jesus and to have all the blessings that he has, Jesus has. There's a difference. But I've often heard over the years people quote these scriptures to say there's got to be a balance. There are truth people and there are grace people. In other words, there are some really nasty Christians, but because they're truth people, you know, the ones who just tell it like it is, and then there's the really sweet ones, the grace people. And that's got nothing to do with these scriptures. Those are just different personalities. I remember growing up in my early days in the Lord, not being a part of the charismatic world, and trying to explain the gifts of the Spirit. And if you were mean and just told people what you wanted to tell them, whether it was nice or not, then you had the gift of prophecy. I knew some prophets, man, I'm telling you. When he says here that Jesus was full of grace and truth, and then it says again in verse 17, for the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth were realized through Jesus Christ. Then he goes on and says, no man has seen God at any time, but the only begotten of God who is in the bosom of the Father, he's explained him. The truth he's talking about here is the valid explanation of what God the Father is actually like. And Jesus came to accomplish several things, but one of the things that he came to accomplish was to reveal the truth about God. Because the Jewish understanding about God was a law-oriented understanding, and that God was a perfectionist. And he had a heavenly billy club. And if you ever broke the rules, then he'd wrap you over the head with his spiritual billy club. And that's who they thought he was. And so they had all these rules, and Jesus was always breaking the rules. And you know some of these things, that the Pharisees, who were the greatest rule, they were the most serious Christians in the pew. You understand what I'm saying? They signed up for all the stuff. They were there every Sunday, every Wednesday. They did all the work. They had an attitude about it toward everybody else who didn't do as much work. And they had added 39 extra laws to prove you're real spiritual. And the 39th law was, on a Sabbath, you can't pick up anything and carry it. And so Jesus only did those things he saw the Father doing, only said those things he heard the Father saying, and the Father was always telling him to pick a fight. And they would get mad at Jesus for doing something on the Sabbath, and Jesus would say, basically, why are you mad at me? I'm just doing what the Father's doing and saying what the Father's saying. And what he was saying to them is, you have a warped perspective of the Father. This wasn't my idea. This was his. And one of the things that he did in John was that he healed a man on the Sabbath, told him to pick up his pallet and walk, and the Jews freaked out because that was the 39th rule. And I've always said, you might not remember number 17, but you probably remember number 1 and number 39. And the Father did that intentionally because he wanted to expose to them, how his heart was broken, that they didn't, what they believed lies about God. And so what Jesus was constantly doing, it says sacrifices didn't move him, but compassion did. And what Jesus was constantly doing was revealing that God is the God of grace. And in doing that, he was telling the truth about God. And that's the sense in which Jesus was full of grace and truth. That God is good and God is full of grace. It's fun to go back, particularly in the Gospel of John, and just read over and over again, or any of the Gospels, and see the miracles and signs and wonders that were performed, and remember that was partly to explain the Father. Nobody had ever seen the Father. They'd made up all kinds of things about him, but it says Jesus came to explain him, to reveal him. He was revealing the true nature of God. And the cross was the ultimate explanation of this is what God is like. That he so loved the world that he'd give what he can't afford to give for you to transform your life. And then he says this, he says, and of his fullness we have all received, and grace upon grace. We've talked about this in the past, but the language here in the original language, grace upon grace, the word would be, the best way to explain that would be like if you go to the ocean, and there's a wave, and then there's another wave, and there's just another wave, there's just another wave. It just never stops. That's the language, the grammar. It's just grace upon grace upon grace of his fullness. His fullness of what? Grace. We have all received. I don't have to earn it. What do you mean, earning my salvation? No, I'm talking about earning God's blessing and favor. He already did. I don't have to perform to impress him. So that he values me, to bless me, so he'll bless me. He's impressed with Jesus. Jesus has already impressed him. And because I'm in Christ, he values me as much as he values Jesus. And therefore, I can expect the same blessing on the life of Christ on my life. So, well, Bishop, that sounds kind of, you know, it sounds like Ephesians 1:3. For we have been blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. It's got nothing to do with what you've done. It's got everything to do with where you are. Are you in Christ? And then you can expect grace upon grace upon grace upon grace. No, you say, well, if it's just grace upon grace upon grace, won't I just want to sin all the time? No, you'll actually never want to sin. Will you sin? Yep. And you'll want to stomp your foot when you do. Because grace isn't a license for sin. It's freedom from sin. As you've heard me say at least recently, grace, Jesus plus nothing equals everything. The Christian life is not a life of trying. It's a life of trusting. Good news, the pressure is on him and not me. I don't have to get my act together. He's already got his act together, and it's on that basis that God blesses me. And in the blessing of God, you're changed forever. And the more and more you don't want to sin, because it's a holiness of love, not fear. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.